This morning, we're going to be having our final message in this series. I know it went a week too long, but I had five messages. So we started early, and we're going to finish up today our Christmas series, which is simply Jesus Christ, taken from Isaiah chapter 9 and in verse 6, where we're given a prophecy concerning the Messiah. This was a prophecy concerning the one that would come to make all things right, to fix all the problems, not only in the lives of the people, but the nation of Israel, and also in the world itself. And in this prophecy, as we go that direction, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we find that this individual was given five names. And those names are very descriptive of not only who he is, but also what he would do, what he would accomplish in his ministry, and also overall in the world. And we find in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "Therefore unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." We find five names given to the one that was promised. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of this passage. He is the one who has fulfilled and does fulfill all five of these names. And as we'll see this morning, he's the one who I think is everything to us as believers. So today we're going to talk about the fifth and final name, which is the Prince of Peace. Now think about peace for a moment. Just that word peace. You know, when someone says peace or they mention the word peace, all sorts of ideas come to mind, at least with me. I think sometimes it just depends on where I'm at. You know, if you're watching the news and someone says peace, you may think of world peace or national peace. You're at home, someone says peace, you may think of some kind of contentment at home, your personal life, or just some quiet sometimes in your home. You're at work, someone says peace, and you may think of, well, some coworkers that you'd like to have some peace with and get some things ironed out. That word peace, it covers a wide variety. And today we're going to talk about peace a little bit. I think peace is probably the most sought-after possession in this world. Think about it. Peace of mind. People will pay money, a lot of money, spend a lot of time just trying to get peace of mind. They're discouraged. They're distraught. They're confused. They're looking for answers. And they want peace of mind. That's personal peace. How about peace amongst others? Family, friends, coworkers. You know, there are some family disputes, or, you know, there's families that don't talk. They don't get together. They don't even consider each other anymore because something has happened. There's no peace there. You see, peace is something that we desire, I think, amongst each other. How about peace in the world, national peace and global peace? To be honest with you, I'd like to live in a world of peace. I'm not against finding peace and having peace. And as we'll see here this morning, I don't believe that's going to be possible in this world without Jesus Christ. But to have a world of peace would be a blessing. And we think of national peace, we think of world peace. Wouldn't it be nice to go to bed without having to lock your doors? Or to lock your car when you get out because no one is going to come mess with it because there's peace in the world. Everyone respects each other. Everyone considers others. You know, just those two thoughts alone, we have no peace in this world as far as consideration and respect towards other people. We live in a world of turmoil and trials and troubles. And so peace is often something we consider and I think we greatly desire. And as we find here this morning in Isaiah, that's the final name given to Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. One commentator said he's the Prince of Prosperity. That word peace means to prosper, to provide all that is needed. So he's the Prince of Peace or the Prince of Prosperity. It implies that he is one that is able to make all things well. Think about that for a minute. He's able to make all things well in your heart. All things well in your situation, all things well in this world. That's the one that was promised, the Prince of Peace. No matter the situation or the difficulty, he is the Prince of Peace. What a blessing. Because I believe Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of this prophecy. He is the Prince of Peace. I'm going to give you three areas to consider this morning. We're going to talk about peace with God, and then we're going to talk about the peace of God in our heart, and then finally we're going to talk about peace from God, the peace that God is going to give to this world at some point. So we're going to talk first, peace with God. Now we talk about peace. If there is no peace, that means there's a conflict. If we don't have any peace, that means there's opposition. That's why there is no peace. You know, having a household of boys, There's no peace at times because there's an argument, there's a conflict, something has erupted between two or all three, and there's no peace involved. Now, in this case, peace with God, the Bible teaches that there is a conflict between mankind, men and women, and God. There's a conflict, there's an opposition there. And because of that, there is no peace with God. You know, we're not going to turn back to Genesis, but we find in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 that God created man and God created woman. He created Adam and He created Eve. And the Bible tells us He placed them in a perfect environment. You know, I always laugh at those that say that environment is everything. The Bible shot that down right away from the very beginning. He placed them in a perfect environment. Everything that Adam and Eve required was there. Everything they really desired, they had in front of them. They were perfect. They had fellowship with their Creator, God, who would bless them and care for them. And the Bible tells us that they disobeyed. They just weren't satisfied. They were disobedient. They weren't content. And they were tempted, yes, by the devil, by Satan. The devil came and tempted them. And they disobeyed God. And that's where the conflict began. That's right there where it began. And sin produced a barrier between God and between His creation. Because we have a holy God, we have a perfect God, we have a righteous God. And sin has come up between His creation and between Him. You see, a perfect, pure, holy, righteous, an almighty God became separated from His creation. Adam could no longer go to God as he had done before. He was kicked out of the garden, removed. And the Bible begins to teach us from that point on how God began to prepare a way for man to be reconciled to Him. And of course, we see the sacrifices in the Old Testament. We find right away sacrifices. I believe that's how they were clothed. You go back to Genesis, God made them clothes. He made them from an animal. And I imagine that was the first sacrifice we have there. We don't have all the details of all that took place, but we find later with Cain and Abel that they brought sacrifices unto God, and Abel's was accepted. It was a blood offering. Cain's was not because it was of the ground. It was something that of his works and his abilities. And so we began to see how God had begun to teach man that He would reconcile them and He would take care of the problem, and that problem was sin. You see, in Romans we find, and if you want to turn to Romans chapter 5, we find in the Bible that we're all sinners. You know, we can look back at Adam and we can say, why did he do that? Or Eve, and say, why would they think of doing that? I imagine if we're all put in that position, we've probably all done the same thing. You know, if we say we wouldn't, then I guess that speaks to our pride right away. We think we're above and better. Romans 5, it says there in verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We have a sinful nature, but we're also sinners by choice. We've all chosen to rebel against God and to do our own thing. You don't have to teach children how to disobey. It's just natural for them to be selfish. It's natural for them to take and to want and to demand. You have to teach them to be respectful, to share, to say what's right, not what's wrong. You have to teach them and prepare them. The Bible talks about training them. You see, there is sin in this world. And that's why there are problems in this world. You know, people talk about why is there problems today. Well, it's because this world is filled with sinners. You have sinful people. And when you have people that are sinners, there's going to be problems. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be all sorts of opposition. You know, sinners were, and they are today, enemies of God. They're in opposition to Him. And that's the point this morning I wanted to point out as we look at peace with God, that there is some opposition there. You have two sides. You have God and you have sinful man. And it says in James 4:4, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And Jesus put it this way, if you're not with me, you're against me. There is an opposition there. If someone is not with God, they're against God. Of course, some sinners are more bold than others. Some are very antagonistic and very proud, and they're very boisterous in their opposition to God. Then you have some who are opposed to God, but they're not, I guess, say boisterous or loud or noisy, but they're living their own life, and they're living it without God, and their opposites are on the other side from God. But the Bible teaches that all sinners are this way. We're all opposite to God because of our sin. We have no peace with God. We have instead opposition. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what happened? God determined to settle the matter. Growing up, I know my parents and teachers, you know, there'd be a problem. And you'd always hear, you know, you be the bigger person. You know, you settle the issue. You make peace. Well, God is the bigger person. Obviously, he's the perfect one. And the Bible teaches he is the one who settled the matter by sending his son to die on the cross. I don't think, left to ourselves, I don't think we would have sought after God. I think, the 4,000 years of human history before Christ came teaches us that. The Gentiles had no desire to seek after God. They just had, desire to conquer land and people and to oppress and be in charge. And they had no desire to seek after God and to have sin forgiven. The Jews themselves, even though they had the law, their desire was to corrupt it, apply works, and to be proud above everybody else. See, God is the one who sent his son. God is the one who determined to settle the issue of sin, and Jesus Christ came to be a mediator. You know, when you have peace talks, whether it's with nations or with people, you often have a mediator. Someone who will sit and be the go-between, or the one who sits in the middle, and will set things straight so that way the two sides can come together. That's what we have with Jesus Christ. He is the mediator between God and man. He is the one who is the go-between. He is the one we have to go through to get to God the Father. And the Bible teaches in Romans 5, verse 1, I'm going to turn over there and just read this passage, in Romans chapter 5, talking about salvation, verse 1, it says here, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Jesus was sent. We talk about Christmas time being born in a manger, but he lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and he provided atonement that was acceptable to God. And those that are saved this morning are justified, the Bible teaches. That word justified refers to your standing before God. You're right before God. You're justified. Right now, if you're saved here this morning, you're justified. In God's eyes, things are settled between you and God. In other words, you have peace with God. Things have been settled between you and the Lord. You're no longer an opposite to him. You're no longer in opposition. You're no longer an enemy. Instead, you're with God. And God will bless you, and God will lead you, guide you, direct you. You see, the justified have peace with God. Things are settled because of their salvation in Jesus Christ. You know, peace comes through Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Peace with God comes through Jesus Christ. And it's because of that blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Colossians chapter 1 refers to this. And I'm going to turn over those taking notes. I'm going to read verses 18 through 20 in Colossians chapter 1. And this refers to the blood that was shed on Calvary and how that blood covers our sins. Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 18, he says there, and he, speaking of Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. But it was the blood of his cross that reconciled. In other words, it was the blood of his cross that brought man and God back together. The relationship is restored because of Jesus Christ. Because he went to the cross in our place, and because he died for our sin, he made the atonement that God accepted. So this morning, I hope and pray you have peace with God. I read where one man put it this way. He said, be at war with anyone else but God. I don't think he was encouraging war or violence, but I think he was saying, if you're going to pick a fight, don't pick it with God. Make sure that you have things settled with God. Make sure you're right with God. That you have peace with God. You know, this morning, that's what matters most. That you have peace with God. And that is through Jesus Christ. That is through salvation. John 14, 6, he said, I am the way. Talking about way to God the Father. He's not saying, I am a way, but the way. You see, you trust in Christ. You believe on him. You'll be saved, and you'll have that peace with God. Things will be settled. And God can begin working in your life. God will begin blessing, and God will begin directing, because you'll no longer be at odds with God as far as your relationship and your standing before the Lord. But until that time, I don't think you'll ever have peace within your heart. Now, you may find some time in your life where you'll be comfortable, You may find some time in your life where things will work out fine as far as maybe your job, your career. But if you don't have Christ inside, you cannot have that peace that God offers. The peace, as we'll see here in a minute, that passeth all understanding. You can't have that because it comes from Jesus Christ. You know, this morning, maybe there's someone here that's why their life is such a wreck and there's so much turmoil and hardship and difficulties because there's no peace inside because you have yet to make peace with God. You're still in your sin. And if you're still in your sin, you're still accountable for those sins. If you're still in your sin, you're still guilty of that sin before God. And God will hold you accountable. This morning, that can be settled, though. That can be taken care of. Trust in Christ as your Savior. And once you're saved, there's no more opposition. There's peace. You see, once you're saved, the opposition's gone. Think about this. When there's no guilt, there's peace. When there's no opposition, no difficulty, there's peace within the heart, and we can have peace with God. You see, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, made it possible for each one of you to have peace with God. I hope and pray you accept Him as your Savior. The second thought is the peace of God. This is the peace that comes into the heart of the believer. We're talking about the peace from Jesus Christ that will strengthen us, provide contentment as we live in this world of sin. I have to say that this peace not only comes from God, but once again, this peace is due to your relationship with God. You cannot have this peace if you don't have peace with God to begin with. In other words, you won't have this peace if you're not saved. And so I want to, as I go through the rest of this portion, or at least this point here, this is for believers, without a doubt. This passage or the rest of this message and this second point is for those that have trusted in Christ and they're saved. They believe on Jesus Christ. Now you can have the peace of God. And this is the peace that comes from God. And this is the peace I think we need today. You know, without a doubt, we live in a difficult world. Without a doubt, there are trials and there are troubles. You sin and temptation abounds in our world today. And at times, they're discouraging. Troubles and trials can cause pain. And they can produce worry. It's easy to become agitated in this world. It's easy to fret over things. It's easy to look and wonder what's going on or why. It's just easy to be discouraged in a hectic world of change. We need peace in this world. Now we can look to people, but people can let us down. People can say one thing and mean another, or they can let us down on accident. Now I'm not saying you shouldn't trust anybody. That's not the point here. But God is the only one who can provide the perfect peace within your heart, that contentment that only God can give. I think that many understand that they need that peace, and so because of that, we find people who are looking to all the worldly sources for peace. They're looking for answers. Some look to religion. Some look to methods. Some will just look to alcohol or drugs. They'll find anything that will provide any sort of peace or comfort in their heart. And so they're looking for what will ease the pain. The sad thing is it's providing no real peace. It's just easing the pain, not providing any lasting peace. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the answer to that. He's the one who provides the peace in our heart. Ephesians chapter 2. We're just going to look at two passages in this point here this morning. Ephesians chapter 2 is the first one. And we're going to look at verse 14 concerning Jesus and the peace that He offers. Ephesians 2 verse 14 says, "For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace." In this passage, we find that He is our peace. Not only did He provide peace with God, but He's also our peace in this world of sin. You see, His peace keeps our heart secure in this chaotic world, as we all put it. It keeps us secure. His peace does. You know, this morning, I can tell you, if you're saved, someone cares for you. Jesus Christ. You may lose all your friends in this world. You may have people turn away from you, walk away from you. Jesus Christ won't. He cares for you. Also, you have someone who works for you in this world, and that's Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that right now He stands before God the Father. He'll stand there forever on your behalf before God the Father. You're accepted to before God because of Jesus Christ. He's your mediator and He works on your behalf. Also, you have someone who will assist you in this world. He provides His power. We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. And He'll never leave us nor forsake us, it tells us in the book of Hebrews. You know, those three thoughts alone provide peace. Someone who cares for you. Someone who will assist you. and someone who will work for you on your behalf to bless you. You know, this morning as a believer, we should have peace simply because we know that Jesus Christ is with us. The Son of God, the Prince of Peace. Think about the other names. The Wonderful, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Counselor. He is all those things to us. And because of that, we can have peace in our heart. In Jesus Christ we live, and in His power we can overcome temptation and we can overcome sin. We can do what's right. We can endure troubles and difficulties because Jesus strengthens the weak. He comforts us when we're hurt. He directs us when we're confused. We have a wonderful Savior, the Prince of Peace. And it's because of His presence and His work in our heart today. Another thought I'll give you on this is this peace is only through Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. And as a believer, I guess you say we have, people talk about the key to life. We have it. That's Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 6 and 7 there. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing." Now stop there. Think about that. Be careful for nothing. I tell you what, I break this a lot. Some days it don't even take me 10 minutes to get up and I'm already fretting and thinking about what's going to happen that day or how I'm going to work this out. It says, be careful for nothing. Yes, we should plan. Yes, we should prepare. Yes, we should do what we can. But guess what? Let's not be fretful. Let's not worry. Because God is in control. It says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we're not to worry. We're not to fret. You know what we're to do? We're to take our cares and our concerns to God. Prayers, it says there. Prayer and supplication. We're to go to God, be grateful, be thankful, and take our cares and our concerns to Him. And notice what it says in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace comes from Jesus Christ. And it calls, or it says there, it's the peace that passeth all understanding. This is a peace from God. You will not find this peace in the world. You can't go purchase this peace. It's not for sale. You can't earn this peace. You can't go to some office and someone give it to you. It's a peace from God, and it's through Jesus Christ. And I think this is the peace that comes from the result of course, salvation, saving faith, but afterwards, trusting in Christ. You know, that verse in verse 6 is important. Because what often happens, or I guess what we tend to do, is we tend to hold on to our problems, right? I know I can't be the only one that's ever went to God with a problem and said, here, it's yours, and then turn around and 5 minutes later worry about it again. I can't be the only one that's done that. Maybe I am. But we tend to hold on to our problems. We tend to worry and fret and they worry about things that are going to happen tomorrow that we don't even know if we have tomorrow. Or discourage over things that happened in the past that are finished and done. And we worry and we fret over these things instead of giving them to God. And that's what we're taught here, is everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Give them to the Lord so that way He can take them. And then the peace will come into your life. You see, it's talking about trusting God. Talking about having faith in God. You see, when we trust God in all areas of our life, then that peace that God has for us will come into our heart. Because we'll know that He's in control. We know He'll answer correctly. We'll know He'll answer at the correct time. When it's ready, when He's ready to give the answer that we need or that we should have. Also, when we trust His words and His teachings. You read the Bible. What Jesus said in John 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. We read and begin to apply the teachings of God's word. That peace is going to come into our heart because we're obeying God. We're walking with the Lord. Also, I think when you give things to God, that means you're content. It's difficult to be content. It's easy to look and say, I want this. And sometimes it's not just wanting. It's just, I wish this wasn't this way. I wish it used to be this way. And when you give them to God and you just let the Lord have them, that means you're content with God's direction. You're content with the situation. You're going to trust the Lord to work in that area. You see, this is the peace that passeth all understanding. That peace will come into your heart because you have a Savior that you've trusted. The Prince of Peace will provide that. You know, this morning, I think it's a peace that can only be experienced. I can't really explain it to you. It can only be experienced. And if you're here this morning, you're saved, and you've trusted in God afterwards to guide and direct, I'm sure that you understand at times you've had that peace. At times you can't explain it, but you have it. There's that peace there that you know God's in control. You know God is going to work things out. You know God is going to provide the direction. He's going to give you the answer that you need because He's God and because He's in control. You see, we can't explain that. This morning, I really can't explain to you why believers are able to endure great difficulties with a smile. And you know what I'm talking about. You're able to just get through troubles and trials. And you may have someone in the world who look and say, you know, I just would be crushed by that. But how'd you endure that? And all you can say is, it's God. God's given me the strength. God's given me the peace. I know there's some here this morning that have went through difficult trials in your life that you look back and God's the one who got you through. And today you're still rejoicing and you're smiling and you're loving the Lord even more because of the greatness in His work in your life. You see, that's the peace that passeth all understanding. Also, I can't explain to you, I've often wondered this, I can't explain to you how believers can choose to face death instead of turning from their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about that. Now, for us today, we're not in that situation. So it may not be as, I guess it may not hit home as hard as it does in some areas. But there are believers, even in our generation, there are believers that have chosen to go into eternity instead of turning from their Lord and Savior. Why? It's the peace of God that God has given to them in their heart. I think it was D.L. Moody who made someone had asked him if he thought he could give his life for Christ. And he answered honestly and said, I don't know. He said, but I do believe if the time should come that God will give me the strength to endure and to do that. You think about that. That's the peace of God. You know, often this peace is given to us as we go, one step at a time. You know, the Lord may not give you the peace that's needed for that because that may not be His plan for your life. That's the plan for someone else, and He'll provide that peace when it's necessary or when it's needed. But it's the peace that will keep our heart and it'll keep our minds. That's what it tells us in Philippians 4. It says there, and we've read it already, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, this morning, believers, we have the greatest resource in this world, and that's Jesus Christ. Provide peace of mind, peace within the heart, in this world of difficulty and troubles and trials. You see, we can live a life without worry, without concern, without fretting. We can have peace. We can live without guilt of the past or the fear of the future because of Jesus Christ. We have peace. Because Jesus forgives, that's why we can have peace. Because He understands, we can have peace. Because He provides, we can have peace. Because He strengthens, we can have peace. You see, Jesus is all that we desire, really all that we need. And I think He really is what the world is longing for. Many of them just don't turn to Him. They're looking to other sources. Most are missing out just because they are simply trusting in something or someone else instead of trusting in Christ. But Jesus Christ, you know, true faith results in peace and contentment. In 1855, or 1555, I'm going to give you an illustration of this. 1555, a man by the name of Nicholas Ridley, he was a doctor, educated man, was sentenced to be burned at the stake in England because of his witness for Christ. Given several chances to recant his faith and to turn from Christ, he refused. He had a family, but he refused. On the night before his execution, his brother came by, offered to stay, remain with him in the prison. He'd gotten permission to come by and offered to remain with him in the prison to be of assistance that night and to be some comfort. Nicholas Ridley declined the offer, and here's what he said. I intend, he said, God willing, to go to bed and sleep as quietly tonight as I ever did. He did. The next day he went home to his Lord and Savior. Peace. That's the only answer you can give. The peace that God gives. This man, knowing that it was his last night on earth, was able to sleep perhaps better than many in that same city slept that night. Simply because he had the peace in his heart that God was in control. He was ready and willing to go wherever God would want him to go. See, that's the peace. Now this morning, most of us will never face that trial. Maybe nobody here will ever face that extreme of a trial. But God will go through or give us the peace that's needed to go through the difficult times, just as He did that believer there. And he'll give us the strength. Because see, he's the source of peace. He can provide that comfort in our heart. In Isaiah chapter 26, if you want to turn over there, this is the same book we get our prophecy from. Isaiah 26, we have a few verses concerning the Lord, Jehovah. And of course, Jesus is the Son of God, but he's also God, the Lord. And it says there in verse 26, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 5. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust." But notice that, trust in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord is what we need to do. He is powerful. He is mighty. And he can provide the peace that we need in our hearts. You see, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, offers peace to those that place their trust in him. Here's the third thought, peace from God. You know, this passage in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, is a prophecy concerning the Messiah, the one who would bring peace not only to the hearts of people, but peace to the nation of Israel and peace to the world. Let's go back and let's read the verses around it real quick so we can just see the context of this. Isaiah chapter 9. And it says in verses, we'll begin in verse 5. It says there, Isaiah 9, verse 5. "For every battle the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled into blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Notice the government shall be upon his shoulder." So he's going to take the control, government, establish the kingdom. "His name," and it gives us his name, "shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And notice in verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." You know, his government is going to last forever. The fourth name in this passage was the Everlasting Father. The Father of Everlasting, or the Father of Eternity, is the literal translation. And it's referring to the fact that not only is he eternal, but his kingdom will also be eternal. But notice, in verse 7, I'm glad it put it in there, the Lord put it in there, and peace. Not only will his government have no end, but there will be no end to his peace. You see, when Christ reigns on earth, that peace will remain forever. He's not going to be overthrown. He's not going to be conquered. There's not going to be any disruption in his kingdom. You know, often, whether it's a kingdom or a nation or a company or even a church, you know, a lot of times problems come from within. They're not necessarily destroyed from without, but there is disruption from within. Unity's broken. There's no peace. There's turmoil and trouble. And next thing you know, there's problems. Well, in Christ's kingdom, we're not going to find that. There's not going to be any disunity within. We're all going to be satisfied, I think, is what the Bible's teaching. We're going to be satisfied. We're going to be rejoicing with God, and there's going to be peace eternally. There'll be no end to his peace. And our final thought here is we're going to have peace from God. You know, someday, look in Isaiah 2 verse 4. Here's a prophecy talking about the future kingdom. Isaiah 2 verse 4, notice it says, "He shall judge among the nations, he shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." You know, the UN is trying to make this their motto. But they're failing, and they will fail. No group on earth will be able to bring the peace into this world that Christ is able to bring. But the Bible teaches that there will be peace someday on this earth. You know, during the holiday season, during Christmas time, we talk a lot about peace because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We talk about peace on earth and wanting to have peace on earth. Jesus Christ, at some point, will produce that. Now here I'm going to give you a little bit of a, I guess you say, description of his kingdom. And we find that here. He's going to have a kingdom where there'll be no more violence. We're not going to have to wake up in the morning and read the paper or get online and find out that someone else has lost their life because someone else decided just to take it. Or it erupted into a fight and someone accidentally took the life of someone else. That won't be there in his kingdom. There's going to be no more violence. Wouldn't that be nice now? No more violence? We could walk down the street, not have to worry. You can go out any time of night, just walk around and not have to worry for your safety. Violence will be gone. There'll be no more bloodshed in his kingdom. It's going to be a kingdom of peace. It talks about Isaiah 2 verse 4, the weapons of war will be replaced. It says it'll be turned into pruning hooks. It's the weapons of war are going to be turned into tools of production. That's what it's talking about. The weapons of war will no longer be needed. And it says there that the nations will no longer learn war. Some colleges will be out of business, which is fine. There's other things to do. But they'll no longer learn war. They won't study it. They won't teach it. And here, most importantly, they won't have to prepare for it. That's why they won't need to study it or teach it, because there will be no more threats, no more dangers. They won't have to learn war. There'll be no more need for weapons because the Prince of Peace will reign. So the weapons will be gone. They'll be removed. You know, this morning, why is there war in our world? Why is there bloodshed? I think it's because our world is populated with sinful men and women. That's why we have war. That's why we have bloodshed. Because we have a world filled with sin. You know, men and women, naturally, in our sinful nature, we're proud, we're selfish, and we're disobedient. Even after we're saved, we've got to battle those. We've got to trust in Christ and put those down. But without Christ, obviously, men are proud, selfish, disobedient. And you know, even in our world today, few of the leaders in our world can be trusted. You know, they say one thing and they mean another thing. Or they say one thing and they turn around and you read about them doing another thing. Most, I can't say all because I don't know all of them, obviously, but most, I think, are driven by selfish motives. That's what drives them. That's what it gets them in position. So it's not surprising that there's no peace. You know, the Bible tells us there'll be no peace until Jesus Christ reigns on earth. You know, He was presented as the one that would make peace, the Prince of Peace. And even in His first appearance on earth as, you know, in the form of man, we'll talk about Christmas a little bit. I know it's past this year, but He came, took on the form of a man. He came in a peaceful manner. He offered His peace to the world, to those that would believe. He didn't force anyone to follow after Him. He didn't force anyone to make a decision. He presented Himself. He didn't even force the nation to accept Him. Actually, He declined it on several occasions. He didn't force Himself upon anybody. He came in a peaceful manner to this world. And in the end, He was rejected. They wanted His miracles. They wanted His power. They wanted His blessings, but they didn't want His teachings. They didn't want to submit to Him. They didn't want to humble themselves. And so what we find is they rejected Him. The nation of Israel handed Him over to the Romans to crucify. So the Bible teaches. And there on the cross, what they nail up above His head? King of Kings. Three languages. That was what they charged Him with, basically. Claiming to be the King of Kings. Claiming to be a king. And you know what? Since then, think about the world since then. There has been no peace for Israel. Actually, history says it's been nothing but turmoil for Israel since then. It was about 40 years later that the Romans completely annihilated Jerusalem. The temple was wiped out. And from that point on, the Jews have been in this world, which is a miracle of God. But they haven't had the nation, the worship. The peace has been gone. But not just in Israel. How about the rest of the world? I don't think you can, from that time to today, you couldn't find a day where there hasn't been a war going on in our world today. Somewhere in our world, there's been violence and fighting and war. And we've rejected, the world rejected the Prince of Peace. The world rejected Savior. Now, God knew all this, obviously, and He came to make atonement. He knew He'd be rejected. But the world today continues in turmoil, and there's going to be no peace until He returns. You know, today there'll be no president that's going to bring peace to our world. There's going to be no association or any group that'll bring peace to this world. Like I said, the UN has tried and they failed. They're going to try again. And we may have another organization that'll be put together to try to do the same thing. But it's going to fail. Even the Antichrist, he's going to bring some unity. But he's not going to bring true peace to this world. There's still going to be some conflict and turmoil. And in the end, only Jesus Christ will bring the peace that this world requires and is needed. Here's the problem today, though. I think the world despises Christ for the most part. Now, I know people here don't. We love the Lord. He's our Savior. But as a whole, the world itself despises the Prince of Peace. The world refuses to accept Him. They don't want His peace. They want their peace. In other words, they want to continue in their sin and continue in their ways. They don't want to humbly bow before a Savior seeking forgiveness, repenting of sin, and getting things right with their God and their Creator. So the world refuses to accept His peace. They refuse to humbly bow down before Him. You know, it's interesting. He's never mentioned any peace negotiations. His word is not even thought about. I don't think anyone breaks out the Bible when it comes to peace negotiations. I don't think they have one in the UN, probably. They might have it somewhere. But they don't even think about his Bible, his word, much less consult his teachings concerning peace. Imagine if they would, though. We would have more peace than we have now. Obviously, it would be a world that cares and concerned about one another. But the world's going to continue to lack the peace that God is going to give until the Prince of Peace establishes his kingdom. But when he does, he's going to subdue all his enemies. That's what we find in Isaiah 9, and we find it later in Isaiah, I think it's 27. He's talking about he's going to subdue all his enemies. When he returns this second time, this is what the Jews were expecting the first time. They were expecting a Messiah who would arrive, conquer his enemies, overthrow all opposition, and establish his kingdom. He will do that. He's going to subdue his enemies. He's going to conquer the world. According to Revelation, he's going to do it in person, too, by the way. He's not going to do it from a distance. He's going to do it like they did in the Old Testament days. Alexander the Great comes to mind, leading his army across the rivers on horseback, charging across, making battle or war and being victorious. That's what Jesus Christ is going to do. The world will see him, Revelation teaches, as he comes on down and he establishes his kingdom here on earth. Also, he's going to banish every sin from this world. That's one of the greatest thoughts in my mind. I think the sin will be gone. We're not going to see these sinful acts or deeds or shows or billboards. He's going to banish all those. The wickedness will be gone. Evil will be gone. All the evil elements in this world. Also, he's going to bring peace to his people. He's going to bring peace to the nation of Israel, and he's going to bring peace to the world. And then from that point on, the Prince of Peace will reign forever. You know, in closing this morning, we must go back. Must go back, I think, to Bethlehem and consider the fact that the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, was on earth. You know, all that we talked about here this morning of him, what he does, what he's going to do, he was on earth. He was born in that manger. He walked on earth. He provided teachings, miracles, great works and wonders, and many believed in him, trusted him as their Savior, and their lives were changed. You know, Jesus was sent to make peace between God and between mankind. And this morning, I can tell you this, he was successful. His atonement was accepted by God the Father. We don't need to make another sacrifice. He's made the sacrifice. We just need to accept him. So he was successful. Also, he was sent to provide peace to those that believe on him. And he is successful. Here this morning, you may be a testimony of that. You know, you're saved. That peace is now in your heart. And he's successful. Yes, we may have times where we struggle with faith and trust, but we have a Savior who loves us and cares for us. Thirdly, the Bible tells us he's going to return to establish peace on earth. And I can tell you now, he will be successful. You see, he'll follow through because he's promised to. And just as he provided salvation for sinners, and just as he gives peace in our heart today, he will also someday provide peace on earth in his kingdom. You know, I don't know about you, but that sounds good to me. We have a Savior who has provided the peace that is required in all areas of our life. I'm grateful that he brings peace. And I just leave you with some questions. Do you know that Savior? Do you know that Savior, the Prince of Peace? And do you first off have peace with God? That's where it begins, is having peace with God. Have you trusted in Christ as your Savior? And have you been reconciled to God the Father? If not, that can be settled here this morning. And secondly, is there peace in your heart here this morning? You know, we're all going through different parts of life. We all travel this world, but we all travel in different directions as far as how God leads and the trials we go through and the difficulties. But we can all have the peace of God in our heart if we're saved. Each one of us can have the peace of Christ. And so this morning I ask you, do you have his peace in your heart? Are you trusting him in all areas of your life? Have you put your faith in the Lord to guide and to direct and to provide for you? If not, you can. That's what the Bible teaches. We can trust in him, and he'll provide the peace that passeth all understanding. Let's bow our heads for a few moments. We're going to have a time of invitation. And as the piano begins to play here this morning, if God has worked in your heart in any area at all this morning, I encourage you to seek him out in prayer. Perhaps there's one here this morning that God has impressed upon your heart, the need to get things right with him. Maybe the Lord has shown you in your heart the reason why there is no peace is because there's no relationship with him. You're at odds against him. Now, you may have been living correctly, trying to do right, trying to be good, even been in church at times. But you've never repented of your sin, trusted in Him as your Savior, and you don't have the peace that God offers. If that's the case, this morning, that can be taken care of. You may know what you need to do. If that's the case, get it settled with the Lord. If you have any questions, please come down to the altars this morning. Someone can take the Bible, and we can show you from God's Word what salvation is, how you can have that peace with God. Maybe you're here this morning, and for whatever reason, you're saved, but for whatever reason, you've taken your eyes off the Lord, you have sought peace in other areas, and you've been let down. That happens. We can seek peace in the things of the world, our career, our finances, whatever it is, we can seek peace in those areas. And maybe you just need to trust the Lord again. Maybe there's a matter in your life that you just need to trust Him. If that's the case, go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Put your faith in Him.